Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. And I'm really excited to introduce our guest today. She's Erin Marcus, an award-winning business owner and highly regarded speaker, thought leader, author. She empowers people to get out of reaction mode, intentionally choose the life they want, and then go about creating it. Erin is also the host of a top 2% internationally ranked podcast called Ready Yet. And she's appeared as a guest on over 100 shows and stages now, 100 plus, right?
101.
And her approach to helping people achieve the outcomes they want is a mixture of tough love directness, massive amounts of compassion, and lots of fun. And I can honestly personally attest to Erin's influence because I was a guest on her podcast and I shared with Erin, hey, I'm thinking about doing one. And Erin's like, just do it. Just go for it. You've got the passion. It's a great idea. And here we are today, now recording our 20th episode. Erin, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. This is awesome.
I've been looking forward to this one for 19 episodes now. So here we go. So just give us a little bit more color in your background, Erin. How did you get into doing what you do to focus on helping business leaders grow and scale? How did that become your life's work?
I laugh because whenever I get asked this question, I came into this kicking and screaming. Like, it was one of those situations where I had been doing this for decades without realizing that this is what I was doing, and I had to peel everything else away, right? So my corporate background, I was always the mentor. I was always quickly promoted, but I loved bringing people with me. And I remember back in my 20s and 30s when I was still at work and interviewing for jobs, and they're like, what's your most impressive accomplishment? I always said back when I used to manage apartment complexes, because somebody thought giving 26-year-old Erin their multi-million dollar asset to manage was a good idea. But back when I used to do that, everyone who ever worked for me eventually achieved running their own property. And then I was in corporate doing the same thing. And then I left corporate and had a franchise, and I was doing the same thing where I was mentoring. The franchisor actually hired me to help launch new franchises. And then when it was that particular business dealt with families with aging parents, and when it was my turn at the networking event to talk about my business, they're like, yeah, we know aging parents, but why are you making money? Like, how come your business is working? How do you help us with that? And so I was doing this without realizing I was doing it.
Yeah.
Because to me, it was natural. It was lift others as you climb. And it was just the way my brain works. This is what you want. Great. This is how you get there. Just go do it. And finally let go of everything else.
Yeah.
Finally let go of everything that covered it. It acted as if it were secondary. And just made it primary. Plus, I have no attention span. So this type of a business for me allows me to grow such a wide variety of businesses, which keeps me happy and interested.
Awesome. Awesome. I love what you just said, lift others as you climb. And I'm going to use that in the meeting. And was that your idea? I'm like, yeah, that was my idea. I came up with that.
Go for it. I know I've heard others say it. It's your original thought. Go for it.
So you have touched on so many businesses, and I want to talk about a particular type, and specifically as it pertains to this show, the family-run businesses. So what are some common challenges you see when a family-run business is trying to grow or scale beyond that founding generation, when they're going to that next generation? What are some of the challenges that show up?
I think I have an interesting perspective on this because I've been on both sides, meaning I've had clients I have worked with families who are doing this, who are growing their business, who are trying to make it beyond just themselves. And my last corporate career, 12 years, was in a family-owned business. So I have been C-suite executive in a family-owned business that was moving beyond itself. And I have been a consultant for those as well. And I laugh because I say this tongue in cheek, but it's so true. If you take everything that's a challenge in a relationship, and then you take everything that's a challenge in a business, and now you're combining the two. It's one of those situations like we should be more impressed by how many people actually make it than shocked when they don't, because that's a difficult dynamic. So to me, the biggest challenges are anytime the personal relationship influences business decisions, and yet how could it not? And the same, and also anytime the personal relationship takes a back seat. I've seen marriages become all about the business, where they lose sight of, especially once like kids are grown and out of the house, and now they don't have that external requirement pulling them away from the business. It just becomes all-encompassing. And so, as hard as it is to say, because I think for entrepreneurs in particular, there's such minimal delineation between your business and yourself. And when it's not just you, but a relationship, whether that's intergenerational or a marriage, it just complicates. It complicates everything. That's my long version of saying it complicates everything.
So expound on one of the points you made, because I think this would be very interesting to our listeners. Because a lot of times when you're in a family business and you're the family member, whether it be the third or fourth or second generation or the husband or wife of that husband-wife team, you don't have great perspective on what's it like to be an employee in that organization. So what was it like to sit at the leadership table in that particular company? And talk about that for a moment.
It was interesting. I believe because of how I came into that business, and I was told this by several people, my attendance there changed the dynamic because I was one of the first hires that was done at a professional level. Okay, this person is going to help move us up. There was not that other people weren't doing good jobs, they were, but just the way that they met each other. I was the first outsider, purely outsider, being brought in because of business skills. And so, interestingly enough, some of the less than healthy family dynamic that took place before I was there stopped once I got there. I became this catalyst for the change. Also, I used to tease. So this was a husband and wife and a son, adult son. And they were amazing, by the way. I think I was absolutely blessed with this group. It was an amazing experience for a very long time. And I used to tease the son when his mother and father were off doing things that were not helpful to the business. That's when I would also revert to just interpersonal relationship and go, they're your parents, dude. I got my own mother. So this is not a business problem we are having here. I understand we are in the office, but this is not actually a business problem that is going on here. Dude, they're your parents. And I also got away with a little bit more because I wasn't family. But at the same time, it
Interesting.
wasn't unusual. And this is one thing I would warn people against, just pay attention to it. It wasn't unusual for all of a sudden at a Monday morning meeting for things to be announced when no one else in the room understood what had happened because the decisions and conversations were held at a family birthday party over the weekend.
Sure.
All of a sudden, we thought we were going in a certain direction. Everybody was working on that. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, with no awareness, because not because there wasn't conversation, but because we weren't privy to it because of where it was
Right.
held, it could feel like a dramatic shift. And people were left going, wait, what? Wait, what? And that, I believe, is especially in small companies when you're only dealing with 20 and under employees, where you're really still one big team, not There's no
Yeah.
management level. It's all just one team.
So they, in a sense, brought you in to clean up their behavior, if you will, a little
I,
bit.
whether it was
Yeah.
intentionally or not, that's
That's just how,
kind of what
yeah.
happened. Because of how I came in, I was actually a coworker of the adult son of his spouse.
Okay.
So I knew someone, but she wasn't involved in the family.
And I've seen that model play out in other areas where there's enough self-awareness
Oh,
to
yeah.
say that we're not working and playing very well together. Let's bring in somebody from the outside who will have enough fortitude to give us the
Fortitude and
discipline.
perspective.
Yeah.
I think the reason it worked is my background in communication and their awareness and willingness to be so open and so interested. They were more interested in growing a really cool business than they were interested in holding on to whatever dynamic might have prevented it. That in all sorts of people, the people who are more interested in holding on to a problem because of it serving something than actually finding a solution. And
Yeah.
they were not like that. They were very open on their side, and on my side, just because of my background and my education, I had the emotional awareness and the articulation for to maneuver th through.
Yeah. So in that particular case, another question, maybe get your advice on this. So it sounds like they had an adult son who was competent, capable, impactful, and in many cases, when there's a multi-generation at play, that son or daughter is groomed. They're exposed early on. My first memories of Lee Associates, I was like 4 years old. We're maybe not formally trained, but we're highly exposed so that when the time comes, it's not like we're starting from scratch or we don't know what to do. There are some instances, and we've seen them, and you may have seen them, where you've got that rising generation that's either not ready, not equipped, not capable, or doesn't really have the same, I'll just say, drive that the founding or previous generation had. And that leads to some really tricky dynamics, because it's not real easy to quote unquote fire a family member. So when companies are faced with that dilemma where, okay, we've got this generation or this player in the family that's not quite living up to, say, expectation or where they need to be, how would you coach somebody through that one? That's a tricky
Yeah,
one.
and you're absolutely right. In this case, the son had actually had jobs, skilled, highly skilled jobs before he came into this business, which I think changed the dynamic a little. And he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant individual. This is where, as you put in my introduction, I'm real direct. And I find that breaking things down to the most basic language can actually help us maneuver through these situations. So the situation you're describing to me comes down to priorities. Because you can't have more than one priority. If you really think about it, you can't have more than one priority. And it's also your interpretation of a priority. So, is the priority of the executive team to grow a business, or is the priority of the executive team to support this individual? There's no wrong answer, by the way. And this is something I think people have to realize. People get to decide for themselves. And if the family that owns the business decides that a underperforming family member is more important than the bottom line of the business, guess what? You have no room to complain. It's their business. They get to do that. And you really do. But it does come down to a ranking and awareness. And simplifying it without judgment, simplifying the whole situation to a list of priorities helps, it becomes a decision-making framework.
Yeah.
Is this decision moving us towards or away from this priority? So it's a multi-step situation where you create the priorities, you have the conversation about, I don't want to say consequences. Consequences aren't inherently bad. There's good consequences too, but cause and effect. And now you have a decision-making framework. And it's hard. It is hard. In this same company where I had an amazing career with amazing mentors, other family members ultimately ended up coming into the business, and it shifted a lot of things for a lot of people. It changed the trajectory of my career with that company because now there was overlap. Who are they going to prioritize? And we had a very honest conversation. It didn't mean they were less supportive than I of me. It just changed the dynamic. What I learned, interestingly enough, this was so the one of the businesses that I owned for a long time was working with families with aging parents. And what I have found there, and I found it true to be true across the board, not just with working with families when we have our aging parents, but people would rather avoid a difficult conversation. They'd rather go broke. They'd rather be miserable. They'd rather be heartbroken than have a difficult conversation. And that's just true across the board. And that's just because we're human. Like humans are messy. This is, again, it's amazing we've gotten as far as we've gotten. It's neuroscience. We're messy. We're emotional. Every decision we make is emotional, but justified with logic. So if you're going to be, whether you're an executive or wanting to have a career within a family-owned business, or you're trying to move your family-owned business beyond just that founding group and generation, it's something you just have to be aware of. And then whatever, right? Like the awareness is the first step, and you're gonna lie to yourself. It's what it is. But yeah, to me, it all starts with what is the priority, and using a very articulated, thought out, written set of priorities to be your decision making framework. Black and white, am I moving towards it or am I moving away from it?
And when in doubt, they can always bring in somebody like yourself who can administer some tough love and have the hard conversations, but do it with some empathy.
Do it with empathy, do it with compassion. I think that's part of, again, because it's family dynamic, I think it becomes even more important to understand that we wiggle our way up in success, right? We have our beliefs, we have our thought process, we have our emotions, and then we have our business strategy and our tactics. And if you can't outgrow one, right? If your teeter-totter gets too far apart, it won't slide up anymore. And you just wiggle your way up. And being the compassion and the empathy really come back to it, understanding you're going to slide back, you're going to have moments.
There's another, just wanted to get your take on something else, because I see this a lot too. And in most instances, it seems fairly benign. But okay, there's been a succession. Clearly, the second or third generation is in control. And they're operating and running the company. But you see this aging father or mother that still is showing up every day.
Oh,
And
that's so hard.
sometimes they're in their late 80s, sometimes even early 90s. And the feedback, usually from the generation that's running, is saying he or she will never retire. They'll always have a place here. So I think in some instances, it's healthy because whatever that is giving that older, that parent, maybe purpose and substance. But I think there's times too when it's not so healthy. And I don't know, have you ever seen that scenario play?
Yeah, one of the best, in my opinion, and I've seen this several times. I even saw this as a kid. One of my winter breaks for college, I was a receptionist at my cousin's law firm for that month we had off. And there was the gentleman who had started the law firm was way past retirement, but he'd come in, God help him, he'd get to like downtown Chicago office on his own in his late 90s. I could barely get there, right? One of the best, I don't want to say uses, but positions of that I've seen several times is for the role that founding member, that older generation starts to play is leading the culture. What an amazing use, utilization maybe, of that person, because oftentimes that person was the founder. Their drive, their love for their business, is going to be unmatched. Now, if it's a toxic culture, that's a different problem. But if that person can become a consultant, can become the heart of the office, as opposed to the tactician, I've seen that work. To keep embracing that person, treating them with the respect of the heart of the office,
I
instead of
see.
being dismissive. I think that I've seen that over and over again be absolutely amazing.
And I think that's a great like 2.0 for that person. I've seen that work. I've seen them also fall into more of a, and maybe this falls in line with that, like almost like a mentor to the organization. I think that's a healthy route. Where I think it gets unhealthy is if that person doesn't quite know how to give up that control. And so they never really do. And then you've got an adult son or daughter
Rebelling.
that's they're in a leadership role, but they're not. And in fairness to them, and in my own journey, it's why it was important for me to take full operational control as soon as I could. I wanted to make sure that I could do it, you
And I
know?
think that's something that has to start way before this situation occurs. If you can't unring that bell, like, if you're already there, this is too late. Succession should have started with processes and documentation and getting the business out of the founder's head, giving decision-making away to a myriad of people. And this should have started way before we got to a situation where you have diminished capacity because of natural aging, creating a problem. Because it's at that point you're almost being unfair to that person, waiting until it's a dire situation to try to change somebody's. I don't know about you, I have a 92-year-old stepdad. There's not going to be much changing going on. Like, this is it. He's been who he's been for a really long time.
That's for sure.
And it goes back to this difficult conversation. If you don't put, I'll put it to you this way. If you don't have these conversations, if you don't make me th these decisions, if you don't set up the structure before, it doesn't mean that these problems don't happen, right? Because people put their head in the sand. They just avoid the conversation, right? It doesn't mean the conversations don't happen. It means that they're going to happen at the most inopportune time. You're going to have the least amount of options to solve it. They're all going to be more expensive than they needed to be.
I've seen
And
it.
this is right. And this is where you see like the family breaking apart and the next generation going, I'll start my own, right? And blowing up the whole thing.
So a lot of times I've seen family businesses, and they might be sitting in the second or the third generation, and they're in a bit of a plateau. I don't want to say they're stuck, but they're clearly not scaling or growing. In your experience, what do you think might be holding businesses back when they're in that plateau or stuck?
Couple things. Number one, in no particular order. Number one, because it's what I'm thinking of first. Because I've seen this a lot lately. Things get complicated all by themselves. They do, right? Everything just gets more and more complicated. And by the third generation, a business is, if they haven't done something extremely intentional to prevent it, the business is often very complicated. And you cannot scale a complex system. It has become too complicated to continue growing. Second, you end up with a version of sunk cost bias or an unwillingness, like the whole Kodak blockbuster syndrome, where we're going to do our thing and the world around, if you're not changing, you're being left behind. And if the going back to where we started, where I was saying the interpersonal, the very human issues of falling in love with our own baby, now literally, makes you so attached to the business that you're unwilling to see what's going on around you. You can end up with a very complex business that is bl with blinders on So they're not making the necessary changes to the marketplace. And the more complex it is, the harder it is to make those changes. So even aside from what might be the opinion of the founder or the family, you have real business. It's still a real business. Not every single problem is created because it happens to be run by a family. These are very real business situations.
Thing that if I'm talking to a multi-gen, second, third, it doesn't really matter, is do they have their own vision? Because doing it a little bit better than mom or dad is not a vision. And you're right, to your point, our world changes. It's
Faster and
changing
faster.
faster and faster, absolutely. And whatever the founding vision or the second gen vision was, needless to say, things have changed. The world changed. Certainly, certain aspects that are core may not have changed, but the vision needs to change. And I often say, gosh, it doesn't even have to be a really good vision. It just has to be one
Be an updated, and
that
to your point about, I think the one other reason people get trapped by this is because they're so obsessed with their processes and their product instead of their outcome. If you keep your eye on the ball of the outcome you provide, businesses exist to solve problems. That means there's an outcome. What is the outcome that you want to provide? And then be flexible on your processes and your product, so how you do it, so that the how you do it can continue to change and grow with the world around you. You still get to have your heart attached to the outcome you wanted, but now you're not holding on so much with a stranglehold of how you get there. Stay in love with the outcome you provide, not the process you use to get there, not the product that you're selling to make it happen. And that way you can be much more flexible, much more fluid with how it works, and you'll find be much more able to change with what changes around you.
Said the speak a little bit more about, because I know that a lot of times you get involved with systems, process implementation. A lot of times, you probably heard this maybe a million times. It's like, why do you do it that way? We always have,
That's the way, like, to me, and this is not a good thing, but as soon as I hear that come out of someone's mouth, I have this terrible thing. I'll never listen to another thing you say. Because if I know that about someone, I'm like, oh God, like, here, we're screwed. That cannot be the reason.
But that happens a lot, and a lot of times you're right that like a lot of complexity shows up, and then it just becomes adopted. That's just the way it is,
Works.
and that complexity most certainly is a holdback, and it also forces a lot of what I often call tribal knowledge.
It goes back to one of the things I said earlier. What's your priority? Is your prior You have to take time. I don't even want to say annually. I was really doing this quarterly, if not monthly, to the point where we would do this in our monthly management meetings in my own business. And the question is really simple: what broke this month? And it's if you ask that without any kind of energy attached to it, very neutral. It's not about blaming. It's about figuring it out. What broke this month? What didn't go well? And as the leader, if you can be the first person to go, oh, this got screwed up this month because I did this and it used to do this and now it did that, and you create this environment where people are in welcome to say what's not working for them, you'll be amazed at how quickly you can get out ahead of these situations. Because it's okay, what works now? This is a great question for scaling. We did this during quarterly planning meetings. What works now, but won't work if we were to reach our goal?
That's
And
a
to your
good.
point, if all you want to do is a little bit better than mom or dad did, you just need to work a little harder. That's not. It's the old 10 times is easier than 2 times. Doing a little better is just incremental growth, which won't keep you ahead of the way our world works anymore.
Not at all. Not at all. I also run into this, and maybe you have too, and if you could give a little color. So there's, on one hand, and again, this is one of those things where neither one is right or wrong. It just is, right? A lot of times in a family business, it's very much what I'll call a lifestyle business. They aspire to be an enterprise, a growth engine, right? But it's almost like watching a plane take off from the lifestyle island, heading towards the enterprise island. And then before that point of no return, they circle back. They're like, oh, I'm going back to the island I know. So,
I have a different way of describing that. You're the only other, I gotta tell you, you're the only other person I've ever heard create a visual around this. The because I talk about this a lot, going from solopreneur to business owner.
yeah.
You think you right, we gotta cross the bridge from solopreneur to business owner. And you think it's gonna be a stone bridge or with a creek and a garden, but it's actually the Indiana Jones bridge, right? It's on fire. There's a guy with the sword at the other end. And so people retreat and they settle for what they can pull off instead of actually obtaining what they want. Because in it, I'm going to bring it back to priorities and bring it back to this self-awareness, because what people, when people start businesses, they usually do it, whether you intend to be multi-generational or not, they do it because they love the thing the business does for a living. They're good at the thing the business does for a living. And so they've put all their time, their money, their energy, and effort into learning how to do a really good job at the thing the business does for a living. And they've put zero money, energy, time, effort into learning how to grow a business. But these are two very different things. Doing what your business does for its clients and growing a business has nothing to do with each other. And being a good lawyer has nothing to do with a business. Being a good architect, insurance, finance, like whatever, dentist. None of those things, you could be the best one there is, and it has nothing to do with inherently knowing how to grow a business. And so, if your priority is to grow a business, you're going to need to learn a whole new set of skills. And that's extremely uncomfortable for people, especially if you think about the founder, or even that once that second generation is there. And they've achieved a certain status because that knowledge will get the knowledge of how to do a good job in the work ethic will get you to a point, but it won't get you beyond that point. And now you've got to admit to yourself, all right, I'm at the top, but I'm the big fish over here, but I'm just a little baby fish over here. And that's not a fun feeling. Like that doesn't feel good at all. But that awareness that there is information that you don't yet have is vital. It's vital to making the shift.
That's a hard one.
Oh, it's
It's
brutal.
a hard one. Yeah.
I call it give yourself a break, but don't let yourself off the hook.
So when you look at the maybe family businesses that did get it right, where there is that clear succession, they're growing, they're thriving, they're going one generation to the next. What are some of the leadership traits that are at play there that you see that, okay, that's maybe something that maybe others might miss, but you say, oh, that's at play there. That's why they're doing that. What are they doing?
I know, I'll give you a perfect example. My nephew's fiance, her family has a huge family-owned business. And the girl is brilliant. The girl is absolutely brilliant, and she has a guaranteed spot in the executive office of this business. And she was still required to get her, not just her, 2 degrees. You were right. No family member was assured a position in the business until they achieved their second degree.
Okay.
It's this prioritization of you need to have the knowledge and the skills because we're not willing for the whole ship to sink just because you're you. That's not unique to families. Right? Like a lot of the, again, the family dynamic, I think makes it more challenging, but it's an awareness to run the business like a business. This, I'll give you an odd example. Nonprofits have the same problem. Even when not family run, nonprofits often forget that's a tax code, not a business model.
Yeah.
And so they don't run their organization like a business and they go right under.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you start to treat your business like anything but a business, it's not going to work.
If you run your nonprofit negative net profit every month,
You run out, right? You don't get to help anybody, right? You run out of
eventually,
money. Eventually, there's no more money.
just
It's
not
the
profit,
same thing. So what
non-business.
I would tell you that what might seem counterintuitive, the leadership skills required to successfully manage a multi-generational, scaling, sustainable, family-run business, you need greater leadership than if it wasn't run. You need greater leadership skills, emotional intelligence, communication skills. You need greater leadership skills than in a situation where it wasn't family run. Because contrary to what social media would have you believing, most of us still have a certain level of decorum when we're dealing with strangers that goes away when we're dealing with family.
Yes, it does.
And
Yes,
so an
it
office filled of non-family members is just normally going to have a certain level of politeness that can very easily go. I always say, even at our age, it hasn't happened in a long time, but I will talk to my brother in a way that I will n would never talk to another human being.
We are coming from an Italian family, having crazy passionate Italian dad and being one myself. Let's just say we had to put in some guardrails.
Right. Again, greater leadership skills than what might be necessary out in the regular world.
Because
100%.
people that were outsiders didn't quite understand, well, no, Italians fight that way, but then we hug and love equally as passionately, and
Right.
it's all forgotten. But when you're an outsider, you don't quite understand that. So it's like, we better just stay balanced when we're in the office.
And we did have one of those incidents. Like once I was around for a long period of time, I was basically considered another sibling. And me and the senior owner got into a big argument, screaming at each other. And one of the women in the office had been around us since day one. And then there was a younger guy who was new, and he heard us and he was getting really nervous. And meanwhile, the woman who had been there forever just rolled her eyes, ignore them. None of this matters. They'll stop.
So when you see a family business that they maybe they're stuck, for lack of a better word, they're not moving forward, they're not going to where they want to go. There is a vision for the future, but they just don't seem to be able to make traction. What's one of the first things you might do to help them regain that momentum and get some traction?
One of the things that I have found is most people want the same thing. They just have different opinions on how to get there.
Okay.
So it's like brainstorming separate and then together.
Okay.
A lot of times it's this lack of awareness. It's really just a communication breakdown. So different exercises such as what do you want? What do you see the vision of the like, when you bring it back to values, they will realize they're on the same page. And finding the common ground emotionally before we start to talk what we need to do strategically can really elite. Like, it's this reminder that we're all on the same side of the table. It's this reminder, you say. It's no different than like marriage counseling. Are you working against each other or are you working together against the common problem? And it's the same dynamic. So that reminder, having conversations separately. The other thing that happens a little bit worse in families is the truth of the matter is most people just want to be heard. They just want to be heard. They don't necessarily expect the other person to do everything they say. They don't always, but they do want to be heard. They do want to know that their opinion matters, that their ideas are being given adequate consideration, regardless of whether or not they're adopted. And so creating those spaces, it's more communications training than business strategy. Here's the thing. Business strategy is not hard. Business tactics are not hard. And I say that because there's so many people out there who are brilliant, and you can give them money and they will solve those problems for you. Nobody can solve the inner mindset work for you. You've got to do it yourself. And starting there to make sure we are setting a foundation where we are all on the same side of the table, the rest isn't going to work until you have that.
Yeah, said true, true. Another guest on a similar point, and when it came to family gathering, when the family was together, he had it, and he was a bit of a facilitator, but it sounded like in some cases more of a referee, which I can understand.
And it's finding someone who, when I had my business with families with aging parents, we used to, our motto was don't add to the drama. Do not add to the drama.
Yep. So he
Which
said
is,
it. Similarly, he said, everyone has a voice, and when you use it, his rule was, do no harm.
do no harm.
Do no harm. Don't say anything you can't walk back. Don't say anything that's going to linger and hurt. Use
And
the
this is
voice,
where
be
you
truthful,
find,
but.
and this is where the complications come from being a family. Because the other thing that I used to say all the time with my other business was everybody turns into an 8-year-old as soon as their mother's involved. And it's absolutely true.
Yes, it is.
And if you are trying to resolve the fact that your sister had a bigger room than you did when you were six, and now you're 46 and arguing over office space,
Yeah, silly.
that's not a business tactical question.
Very true, very true. So let's look now to you, to the future. Talk about what you're doing now that's really exciting you. What's something you're into right now that's really giving you a lot of excitement, or something that's coming up that you're really excited for?
So I have a couple of things going on. One has nothing to do with business, but I'm going to tell you because it just happened yesterday. Excited
Okay.
about it. I volunteer on weekends at a place called Wings and Talons,
Yeah.
where I work with raptors, owls, hawks, falcons, taking care of them, and then also doing community education. And though I've worked with her in her enclosure before, yesterday was the first day I took the great horned owl for a walk around the park on holding her, engaging with her in that way. So I'm only 5 feet tall, which you can't tell. So for me to be holding this very large bird and walking around the park at my size, so I'm very excited. I'm still very excited about that. I am really getting involved with some private clients. It's interesting the way your business ebbs and flows. And I think this is a perfect example of what I was talking about. My business had gotten too complicated. My business had gotten too complicated. And I was finding myself spending more time trying to run my business than help my clients. And that's why it's so important to like assess these things as objectively as you can, as often as you can. And I've really scaled back most of what I'm doing to focus on just helping a handful of private clients that really have a purpose-driven mission on what they want to, how they want to make the world a better place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's very, I don't know if it's age related, I don't know if it's what's going on here, but it's just been very forefront in my mind in the last couple of months that I need to spend less time running my business and more time having an impact.
Yeah.
And that seems to be how it has manifested. So that's what we're doing.
And a little bit of time on the side to take care of some really unique and unique birds. Yeah. I was talking to a friend whose son, I'm not sure how he got into, I think it was hawk handling, but I learned a very interesting lesson. It's like, how and why do they come back? And apparently they weighing them is very important, because you weigh them to determine
How much food they have. We
what's in
weigh
their
them every
tummy.
day.
Yeah. So that if there's a little bit empty space in the tummy, that means they're going to come back for food.
Right.
If they're
There's,
full, they're not coming back.
this is right. And that it's the first thing that we have to explain to people is this is not a dog. This is not a cat. They have no interest in a reciprocal relationship.
Yes.
There's zero interest as far as they're concerned in befriending you, in making you like not the way your dog was. And so the only thing you can do is build trust and reward. So all winter, it's so much fun to work with them because they're so engaging. And once it, because they need the extra food to stay warm here in the Chicago suburbs. And now that it's warming up, they don't care.
That's
And
funny.
birds, it's hard not to take it personally when there's birds that I've been working with for months and they in the enclosure and they land on my glove and they eat out of my hand. And now he's sitting over in the corner rolling his eyes at me and watching other things go on. He doesn't care.
There might be some interesting metaphors for how clients behave too, there,
Exercise and fish. It's hard not to take it personally, but.
This has been great. Last question. If one of our listeners wanted to learn more about you, wanted to maybe catch you in action, either your podcast, catching you speak, or even just to talk about how you might help drive their business, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you, Erin?
So it make it real easy. This is also like marketing 101. It's all on the website,
Perfect.
erinmarcus.com. You can catch the podcast there. There's a link. You can get all my socials. Everything's there. It's all in one place at erinmarcus.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Erin, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. Again, been speaking with Erin Marcus, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. Thank you so much for joining us here at Growing Up B2B and wishing you all a wonderful day. Thanks again, Erin. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.